First of all, I also want to greet our internet audience who are there for the live streaming. It works? No. So we have one day after the... It will be uploaded. Good. That's enough. Why always be... It's sometimes good to be a little behind in life. Yes, I wanted to tell you about this seminar, which is on a rare work in our Gaudiya tradition, the Chaitanya Chandramrita. When Prabhupada was asked to give a name to the world headquarters of our movement and to express what is going on there, he said, Shri Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. It's the temple where the Chaitanya Chandra, the moon of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, will rise. He must have had this work, Sri Chaitanya Chandramritam, in his mind. Chandramrita means the nectar which comes from the moon. Thus, the work Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita means the nectar which comes from the moon of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. What is that nectar? This is best explained in this picture. It is said when Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Nityananda chanted, they invoked the rain shower from the of sweetness which is there to be found in the relationship of the gopis and Krishna. It's a rain shower of rasa, of taste, which comes in the kirtans or in the leelas of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this book, Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita, we will also deal with a rain shower, or you can say nectar, which comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The idea is really the same. The nectar which comes from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The work Chaitanya Chandramrita is not describing pastimes in the sequential order, like Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavat. These two works describe the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu in a sequential order. First this, then this, then this, then this. The Chaitanya Chandramritam is something totally different. And therefore, I will start with today with text 129. You know, it's not in sequential order. It's pictures which are seen in the ecstasy while one performs bhajan. You are all very advanced devotees, and I think you have this experience when you have a deep bhajan, you worship Krishna very deep, then you see within your heart small scenes, small vignettes, small pictures, so to say, which arise in the heart and with which you stay. So in this work, a very, very exalted Vaishnav, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, shares with us ecstatic pictures which he sees while he performs bhajan. What do you think about this? He shares with us what is in his heart, what lives there, what has he seen of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these are very, very ecstatic verses which you won't believe when you just hear them. They need a little explanation, really, because love you can either feel, or you can enter that emotion if someone helps you a little bit to see. So in my seminar about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I wish to give you entrance into pictures of ecstasies, small windows of ecstasy. So are you ready for this, or is this too advanced for you? Let's see, isn't it? Let's see. I think that after this, you will roll out of the temple room, screaming in ecstasy, Gauranga, Gauranga, and join that, and eat that, or taste, I would say, that tremendous wealth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he is ready to share with the world. So, but before we start, I also want to say this seminar is an easy one. We just need to, it's a seminar about relishing, not about really learning something. And we will sing a lot, and we will, well, if we would be in Bangladesh, we would roll on the ground, but we don't. We are in Germany. So I wanted to start with you with singing a very nice song. Haben wir eigentlich auch den englischen Text? Darf ich dich denn, oder? Ich habe das in meiner roten Tasche oben, dieses Journal, was du mir geschenkt hast. Aber du müsstest das vielleicht jemand erklären, oder jemanden, dass der Computer hier das checkt, ja? Gauranga Karuna Karo Dina Hina Jane Gauranga Karuna Karo Hina Hina Jane Gauranga Karuna Karo Hina Hina Jane Mosama patita prabhu nahi tribhuvane Mosama patita prabhu Sama patita prabhu nahi tribhuvane
Oh yeah, yeah.
Tante Trinadhari Gaura Daki he tomara Tante Trinadhari Gaura Daki he tomara Adante Trinadhari Gaura Daki he tomara
Dante Tina Dori Gora Daki Hetoma Kripa Kori Esho Ama Hridaya Mandira Kripa Kori Esho Ama Oh, kripa kori esho ama hridaya mandire
This song is a song about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It described in the first song that really there is no one who is more merciful. And in the second verse, it describes how the devotee approaches Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, Dante Trina Dhori Gora, I take straw in my mouth and Daki He Tomar, I go to you. Kripa Kori, do mercy upon me and come into the temple of my heart, Hridaya Mandire. The mercy which Narottam Das Thakur wants is that Gauranga comes into the mercy of the heart. And now comes the third verse.
Gauranga yadi doya na kori be patita dekhiya yadi doya na kori be Patita dekhiya daya jadi daya na koribe Patita dekhiya yadi daya na koribe Patita pavana nama kisera lagia Patita pavana nama Patita pavana nama kisera lagia
You are known as the most merciful. I assure you that you will not see anyone who's more in need of your mercy. Oh, your name is Patita Pavana, the savior of the fallen. Start with me. Now.
Oh, Podechi Bafandufane Nahika Nistada
Hi, Bo!
Podechi Bhavatofane na he ka nista da. Pode ti baba tu pane. Oh, Sri Charana Tadani Tane Dase Koro Pada Sri Charana Tadani Dane Om Oh, Jaya Sri Charana Tadani Dane Dase Karapada Hai Bo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dase Ranudasa Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Oh, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dase Anudasa Jaya Prathana Kareya Sada Nado Tamadasa Prathana Kareya Sada Jaya Prathana Karaye Sada O Narata Madasa
I am the servant of the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, says Narottam. And Prathana Karaye Sada, I always surrender under him. I'm really very, very excited to be with you and deliver this Gauranga Katha because to be very, very honest with you, I'm preparing already since 5 years notes on the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and I somehow felt that just telling about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by saying this happened first, this happened next, this and then that happened. Well, it's one way to talk about Chaitanya, but a better way I felt always is to see through the eyes of someone who's has an ecstatic revelation on Gauranga Mahaprabhu. To see what another Vaishnava sees in his heart. And from there, go into the pastimes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I always felt that is the better way because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and here's the difference to Krishna, is an enigma, ein Rätsel. In that he is not one person, but he is two persons. That's already very difficult. He is Radha and Krishna combined in one form. But could we please hear more about what that means, that he is two persons and not one person? I mean, this is really something, you know. If I say to someone, when I see you, I don't see one person, I see two persons. And it almost means like, I see your smile, but then I see the knife behind your back, you know, another side of you, another face of you. It somehow sounds scary to say, I see two persons or two faces of you. What is this all about that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is two? Well, believe it or not, it all has to do with love. Love happens between two. It's an exchange. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna who came to relish the exchange of or to exactly know what love of Krishna means. Therefore, he took on the position of Srimati Radharani, who is Krishna's greatest lover, and now investigates the love between the two. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, to say it in the words of one great modern devotee, is a volcano of love. That's the best way to describe him. In a volcano, you don't see immediately the glowing lava, but it comes out and in this way shatters everyone. So in a Mahaprabhu, in this Chaitanya Chandramrita, we can see or feel the volcano exploding. We see Gauranga Mahaprabhu in ecstatic revelations of his inner mood, and you will see when we read the first verse. So, can you please repeat with me? I will sing one verse. I'm sorry, I have to find this. Velayam lavano dadhe madhurima brag bhava saras pural velayan lavana de madhurima brag bhava saras pural lilayam navavalla virasanider aveshayanti jagat lilayam navavalla virasanider aveshayanti jagat kelayam apishaisha venijaruja vishvaika sammohini Kelayam abhishaisha veni jarucha Vishvaika sammohini Muktika chana kanchana dravamayi Chitaya mero chate Muktika chana kanchana dravamayi Chitaya mero chate And the first line, Velayang lavano dade madhurima prag bhava saras pural. Prabodhananda Saraswati describes what he sees in his heart. There's a form of molten gold which delights my heart. On the shore of the salt water ocean, that golden form plunges the entire world into the very sweet pastimes of Lord Krishna, who is the nectar ocean of love for the young gopis. Even in his childhood pastimes, that golden form enchants the entire world. So it's a vision. Gauranga, Prabodhananda Saraswati really sees two things. He sees, first of all, Gauranga Mahaprabhu dancing on the ocean of Puri. Who of you has been in Puri, please? Wonderful. And you have, of course, seen the ocean, which has these high waves, which come and bash on the banks of Puri. It's a wonderful impression. It sounds almost like psh. It's with force and with a long echo. Psh, so psh, psh, like this. It the force comes when they bang on the sandbanks. And the shh comes when these waves just distribute themselves and just go over the beach and draw long geometric forms on the beach. It's very beautiful, and it has the sound is the sound of longing for Krishna. It's described like this. When you sleep in Puri and you wake up in the morning, you really feel touched in your heart with some deep Krishna conscious emotions. It's really therapy. It really works very much. So here Mahaprabhu used to come in the morning to the eastern gate, the lion's gate, and enter the temple, and then he would become so ecstatic that he would run out of the temple and from the temple run through the lanes of Puri to the bank of the ocean, and together with the ocean he would perform his dance of Vipralamba, the mood of Vipralamba. Mahaprabhu would enter the temple of Jagannath and he would see how Jagannath turned into the flute playing Krishna, but then disappear. So he ran out of the temple to the ocean, and together he and the ocean cried, "Where are you?" Like this. This is the picture which Prabodhananda Saraswati sees. And then somehow this picture changes, and he sees Gauranga dancing in Nadia, that as a or being in Nadia, that means in his childhood form. In Puri he was in what form? The sannyasi, yes, correct. And in Nadia, where his birthplace was, he was as a child. So he sees these two pictures in one, you know, fading over the other. One time Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Puri, and then they change, and then he sees Gauranga as a child at the banks of the Ganga River, and he's there as a child. Now, in both forms, either as a sannyasi or a child, Gauranga Mahaprabhu had a golden effulgence around him, which spread and which would enchant and mesmerize the whole world. This is a particular feature of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his golden effulgence. And it is said even before his appearance, this golden effulgence came out of the womb of Mother Sachi. You know, Mother Sachi looked as if she had fire in her womb, which was coming lighting the whole atmosphere, so that the devatas, the powerful demigods, would come to Nadia and go around the house of Mother Sachi and look at this scene of this luminous, splendid Brahmani, who carried the splendid Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, when he appeared from the womb of Mother Sachi, the Lord would immediately mesmerize the whole neighborhood. Everyone who saw him called out, Haribol, Haribol! And was overwhelmed. You know, you would see Gauranga Mahaprabhu and you would immediately find yourself singing Hari Bol, to sing the name of Hari. He would incite this. He would cause this. As a child, he would sometimes be crying and crying and crying and would just not stop crying before the ladies who were passing by chanted Hari Hari Bol. Day and night, this baby was crying, so that all the people who passed by would say Hari Bol, Hari Bol, and only then end. It means he was announcing, my pastime will be full of tears. It will be the tears of viraha, the tears of sweet separation. Now there is one difference, and I want to concentrate in this text on this difference to Krishna. Shukadev has described the Bal Gopal Leela, the child Leela of Lord Krishna, and has described how Krishna, in giving his affection, was selective, wählerisch. The verse reads, Tavangri yukmang anukrishya sarish pripanto gosha pragosha ruchiram rajakadameshu tannada krishna manasavanu sritya lokam mokta prabita vatupetya to antimatro. It describes a wonderful scene where Krishna and Balaram, as little children, were moving through Vrindavan. And please listen to this. When Krishna Balaram, with the strength of their little legs, crawled in the muddy places created and brushed by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents. You know, like Balaram and Krishna would move like a white snake and a black snake through the ground, which was just muddy with cow urine and cow dung, you know, brownish clay. They would move like little serpents. Their anchor bells would sound, and it was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other people's anchor bells, you know, other people would walk down, the grown-ups who would say, oh, how sweet, you know. They used to follow these people as if going to their mothers. However, when they saw that these were other people, not the mother, they became afraid and ran to their real mothers, Yashoda and Rohini, and climbed, you know, with all that cow dung on their clean saris, you know, and Mother Yashoda and Rohini loved them just so much that they absolutely didn't mind. that they had to change the saris afterwards. So the idea is they would go to their mothers, but strangers who would walk through Braj, they would avoid, they would be afraid of them, they would run away from them. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, right from the beginning of his pastime, was not selective at all. He would not run away from strangers and only go to his own people, but he would go to everyone. It is said that even if a stranger lifted him in his arms, he rushed to their embrace. I think you know that once thieves came who saw how Gauranga Mahaprabhu was decorated with so many nice ornaments. And the thieves thought, let us have the ornaments. So they opened their arms, and Gauranga innocently rushed into their arms, and they took him and went with him towards a forest, a dark forest where no one would see their crime, and intended to steal the ornaments from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did know, of course, that they had this intention, but still he would not avoid these thieves. Instead, by his illusory energy, he made the thieves walk in a circle. In other words, they never reached the forest. They just came back to the house of Jagannath Mishra, and then they were so shocked, you know, they were afraid maybe these grown-ups see us carrying this Brahmin boy away and they will confine us into a prison. So they dropped Gauranga and just ran away. Gauranga just happily walked into his relatives and they saw, oh, here he is again. We were looking for him. We would like to give those who found him a turban and decorate them out of love because they brought our little boy home. They would go like this, but of course the thieves had run away. So the point here is that whereas Krishna avoided strangers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even came to strangers who were having unmoral intentions and attracted them, and not avoided them. Vrindavan Thakur describes how Lord Chaitanya looked at that time. Would you like to know that? It said he mesmerizes the whole universe. So here he is. He has a chuda that is a little tuft of hair like this, fingernails which look like the moon, a face where even the moon feels attracted and in the night comes out from hiding just to see the face of Gauranga. When Gauranga Mahaprabhu would walk anywhere, it was quite something. He had these red little soles of the feet, and you know, red soles of the feet, and when he would walk, the ground looked red. So once Sachidevi saw, my boy is walking, and it looks as if puddles of blood are on the ground. Imagine, as a mother, you see this red colors. And she shrieked, and she came close, and then she looked, and there were only footprints. Footprints who had the marks of the fire, of the conch, of what else? Line, upcurving line, and you know, chakra. And Sachi saw, what is this? And she quickly brought Jagannath Mishra and said, my dear husband, do you see these footprints in our courtyard? First I saw there was blood coming from my the feet of my boy. Then I came closer and saw these imprints. What could that mean? Then Jagannath Mishra, who is a Pandit, thought very deeply, and he thought, it means that our Shalagram Shila is walking around in the night. Our Shila is very active. As a boy, he would stand on the main road. It says, Kanchana, Kanchana, Dravamayi. And this golden effulgence would come from him. And he extended his hands to beg. And all the people who came by, whatever they carried, they gave it to Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Some gave puffed rice, some gave bananas, some gave sundaes. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He still stands at the door, his hands open like this. Give me Harinam, more Harinam. I want more Harinam from you. Give me love. He is very accessible. He in some ways wants to find a reason to extract service from us. It's even said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu should be meditated upon when we chant. We should not be shy. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when you chant your beads with your hands, you should think, I'm touching the toes of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I mean, he would go to joyously, yoo-hoo! And in this way, you should know that you have contact with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, in whatever way he worked, he wanted to extract service. He stole things from the houses of others. He wanted to take something to so that a relationship would start. Now, I have a song for you in this regard. I hope we brought it. Thank you. Yeah, here I have it. There is a song about this nature of God, that he steals our service. Even if we are not ready to give it, he is somehow making himself so attractive that he extracts it. This is how there is a song, it's called Sri Choragraganya Purushashtakam from Bilva Mangala Thakur. It says, I offer my obeisances to that best of thieves, who is famous in Braja as the butter thief, and who steals the gopis' clothes, and who, for those who take shelter of him, steals the sins which they have accumulated over a lifetime. So here Krishna is stealing three items. First of all, butter. Then, the gopi's cloth. And then, sins. With the butter, I once heard he steals our service. You know, they were making butter, which is a lot of effort, and then Krishna comes and steals it all away. With the gopis, with the cloths, and this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, we should stand before God naked. It means no false identity, no covering. And for those who just start their service, the Lord steals the sins away. I offer my obeisances to the best of thieves, who steals Shrimati Radhika's heart, who steals the dark luster of a fresh rain cloud. O rain cloud, give me your color, shlup, and who steals all the sins and sufferings of those who take shelter of his feet. Oh, this is a dangerous thief. Has anyone ever seen or heard of such a thief in the three worlds? He turns his surrendered devotees into poor people who wander about homeless and beg for courage. And he listened to this, just to say his name frees one from a mountain of sin. Such an astonishingly wonderful thief I've never seen or heard of anywhere. You get the idea. Imagine a thief who steals just by his name. Let us say the big thief. I know one Al Capone. I don't know if you... And imagine he would be so powerful. If we say Al Capone, then Sebastian's purse would be empty of money. You know, there would be no money any longer. Imagine such a powerful thief. So Krishna is like this. Just his name, nothing more. Just his name is enough to steal a mountain of our sin, something which no one can take away from us except for Krishna. So my point was that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially more so than Lord Krishna, would be known as wanting to take our service, our sins, our heart, and so on. There are two examples from Gauranga stealing which I would like to tell you. Then I want to sing a little bit more about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a poor beggar in Navadvip. His name was Shuklambara Brahmachari. This man would walk around in Navadvip with just a bag over his shoulder, begging alms from house to house. This is what the sadhus would do. They would do mostly bhajan. They would rise at 2 o'clock in the morning. This is the accepted time. And then they would do bhajan up till 14 Uhr, wie sagt man, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's a lot of hours. And then they would go out and beg for madukari. That's what they used to do. So Shuklambara did his bhajan, and then in the afternoon he had this bag, and he would go out and ask madukari, madukari. You say like this, madukari, madukari. If you learn this one word in Vrindavan, you will never be hungry. It works even today. So this Shuklambara was so advanced that he constantly chanted Krishna's name. And when he looked out into the world, he only saw it through a veil of tears. He would cry out in love as he chanted the names. He was just like this Brahmana Sudama. Shuklambara was amongst the devotees who went to the courtyard of Srivast Thakur and within the courtyard witnessed the ecstatic dancing of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So once Gauranga met him, he was sitting hidden behind a corner of a house, and Shuklambara came by, and he would say, Shuklambara would sing there with his eyes full of tears, Hare Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu would just wait until he came by, and then as he came by and showed the back at the back to Gauranga. Gauranga caught or brought his hand into the bag and ate the rice. And then he said to him, when Shuglambara said, "No, what are you doing?" He said, "You are my poor servant." Poor means in the sense of no money. "Birth after birth, you give me everything, and therefore you remain a beggar. Shuglambara, do you know one secret? I always want to eat your foodstuffs, nothing else. Even if you don't give me, I forcibly take it and eat." "Oh, Shuglambara, did you forget that I forcibly ate your broken rice in Dwaraka?" Do you know who was Shuglambara at that time? What was his name? Sudam, ne? Did you forget? Just imagine how Shuglambara must have felt. 4,500 years ago, I was Sudam. "Kamala, that is the goddess of fortune, saw me when I stole your broken rice in Dwaraka and forcibly hold my hand saying, 'Enough is enough.' I eat your broken rice and I turn my face away from the nectar offered by non-devotees. I like your broken rice, Shuglambara. I don't like the very opulent feasts of the non-devotees. I prefer the feast of your love." So this is a very, very nice thing which I always like. And to this Shuglambara, Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "Shuglambara, I want to tell you a secret. Do you know how you will be able to always chant the holy name?" And Shuglambara said, "Please reveal the secret to me, my lord." And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "Trinadapi sunichena," chant the holy name, feeling yourself lower than the grass in the street. No, you should feel that, oh, the grass has some use. It can serve a great devotee by building the roof of his simple hut. You know, ein Grasdach gibt's auch in Deutschland, ne? Ein Grasdach. But I have no use in service. Therefore the grass is higher and I am lower than the grass. Be more tolerant than the tree. When the tree is cut, it never protests. So don't protest when you are sometimes dealt with in an improper way, you know. And give respect. Don't request for respect. So when Mahaprabhu told his secret formula for chanting the holy name with love, Shuglambara, and I think all of us felt very, very, or feel very, very, blessed. This golden form of the Lord who dances on the banks of the ocean. I have a nice picture of this. Here you can see. Don't know if this is better for you. This golden form of the Lord, who also was there in Navadvip, oh, it's becoming golden. Hare Krishna. That golden form of the Lord is so absolutely fascinating and attractive to those devotees of the Lord, because this is my point. He somehow steals our service, like he did with Shuglambara, no? And he gives great spiritual teachings. And The other thing which he steals is millions of sins. You know, when Jagai and Madai were met by Nityananda and forgiven, something happened afterwards which is a little secretive. The Vaishnavas escorted them, or brought them, you know, so that they couldn't run away to the house of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. It just locked the door afterwards. You may think, oh no, my God, now they're going to beat them up. No. Then a wonderful kirtan began, and the waves of that kirtan soon overwhelmed Jagai and Madai. Special treatment, you know. We should sometimes maybe do this, you know. This is, you know, maybe we should just, I mean, this would of course be objectionable in the free Western society, but just imagine we take someone from the street, lock him in the door, and then Jai Gopal, bring your medanga, the loud one, not the soft one, you know, and then we do kirtan. But that's what they did. So the former rogues and sinners were crying in the waves of spiritual ecstasy and trembling, and they rolled on the ground in divine bliss, special treatment, therapy. Yeah. And in a divine vision which was granted to them, they could actually see the divine form of Gauranga as Radha and Krishna. And in their ecstasy, they began to offer prayers which are so powerful that anyone who hears them develops attachment for Krishna. I once in Zagreb, I began to recite these prayers to my audience, but I felt, this gets too ecstatic. And there was one devotee who was just sleeping before my... he sat just very next to me, and I felt discouraged to continue with the ecstatic prayers. But I will soon do these. The prayers have so much potency that if you hear them, they can give you attachment to Krishna. Powerful, isn't it? Christian looks, wow, what is this? So then... Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw these two former thieves, you know, rascals, and he looked full of compassion towards them. And at that moment, all the sinful reactions, which were millions of reactions, went to Gauranga Mahaprabhu and colored him black. Advaita Acharya commented and says, you look just like Syamasunda Krishna. Now, he really looked black for a moment. And then Gauranga said, listen, both of you, I have indeed delivered you today. I take full responsibility for whatever sinful activities you have performed in your previous millions of lifetimes, provided you do not commit sin again. So this is what Mahaprabhu is willing to do for all of us. He's willing to take our service and return us in coins of ecstasy. And he's willing to actually accept millions of sinful reactions so that our path becomes clear. Therefore, a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knows never ever was there an incarnation of God who was more merciful. He would dance on the saltwater ocean, crying, where is Krishna, where is Krishna? But even as a child in Navadvip, he would cry for Krishna, ready to give us this divine ecstasy. So this is This is what Chaitanya, what Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur sees before his eyes. He sees Gauranga Mahaprabhu on the salt water ocean, full of golden complexion, and Nadia. And this picture of ecstatic God revelation is something which I wish you now to meditate upon. I will ask our computer department. I think we might have a photo somewhere of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deity in Mayapur, who is so golden. Oh, that is a tall order. We have millions of photos, isn't it? Where to find? Maybe remember one of the slides which you prepared. I think there was a golden picture of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. No? None? That means we have to see him in our heart eyes. That is now not so. You have to be a little bit advanced. I will help you. We will sing. And you should now try to follow the text of Chaitanya Chandramrita. I will read it to you again. And in this way, you will understand a little bit about this work. Tomorrow I will do a little bit more complex and complicated, but today we will just introduce it. Savabhoma Bhattacharya had the same ecstatic picture in his heart as Prabodhananda Saraswati. He wrote one verse which I would like to conclude with. I prostrate myself before the son of Mother Sachi, whose radiant lotus face and body shine with the splendor of molten gold. This transcendent body is the playground for the continuous expression of variegated moods and ecstatic symptoms that carry Lord Chaitanya's consciousness to the realm where he is no longer aware of his own body. By only a particle of his mercy, he has delivered the three worlds. So in your own application of this verse or this picture, this meditational picture, you could say, you can just, when you chant your rounds, think about Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his golden effulgence, which has so mercifully come, I mean, today to us in our little efforts to praise him, and you can see that golden color of Mahaprabhu, the golden effulgence, and it will clean you from all unwanted things. I would now request all of you, that we just chant together for 20 minutes up till 1 o'clock, japa, and we can sit before this golden picture of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which has so much the impression of splendor, glanz, ausstrahlung. It's really amazing that it came to us when we needed it most.